Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J.
Hey.
And I want to tell you guys right now, you guys go ahead on and sit back and get ready for a great afternoon, because we have Mr. George Davies on air with us today. But before I go any farther, what I want to do, I want to bring Ms. J on, okay, so that way she can go ahead on and open it up for us.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everyone.
Air with us today. But before I go any
okie dokie. That's what happens when you go live. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Today we're going to have Mr. George Davies, and we're really excited to have him on the show. Him and John go way back, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about what he does and how he uses his musical gift to uplift the community. But before we get started, Mr. Davies, can you tell the audience a little bit about you?
Sure. I'm from McComb, Mississippi. That's M-C-C-O-M-B. A lot of people spell it M-A, but that's another place. I'm from McComb, Mississippi. I was born in there. I moved around all my life as a military brat, so I'm kind of like from all over the world, I like to say. My dream and goal of life has been surrounded by art, music. I've seen a lot of things that people haven't seen in a lifetime, so I kind of got an interest in life, I could say. It's, when people ask me to tell people about myself, it's like, where you want me to start?
Right.
So, hopefully they'll get to see a better me today, or they'll get to see the things in me. You can ask some questions that will actually show people things that they want to know about me. There's a lot to know about me, so.
Oh, yeah. John has told me some of your history as well. Well, let's talk about, you know, you talked about being a military child and you traveled. And one of the things that you spoke about is how it influenced your music. And we want to talk about how that influenced your music and the type of music that you do create. Is, you know, positive as far as regards to uplifting the community with that style of music. But let's talk about that music of yours.
Okay.
Let's talk about how you got started and what made you, be courageous enough to do it your way. Because a lot of people come out of the music industry, they want to copy someone else instead of finding their own space. So what encouraged you to be unique in your own creativity?
I started listening to music at a really young age with my mother. She's very, very into music. She likes music, all different kinds of music. As I traveled with the military, I think at the age of six, seven, somewhere in there, I got to experience a different kind of culture of music. Being in Germany, they listen to, you know, all kinds of music over there. It's not a genre. It's like, if it's good music, then we play. And it doesn't get any play in Germany. So, listening to the different genres of music when I came back to Mississippi on a change of duty stations, I could really see the difference in what people was listening to in my community. They was listening to R&B. Southern soul was a real, real big thing back then. So Southern soul that's still around today in a lot of the sound. As far as the communities go, I could see the separation in the communities as well as far as the music. For instance, I lived through the era of rock and rap. You listen to rock or you listen to rap. As a young black man, black community, listening to rock, they look at me funny. They look at me crazy. They actually don't even want to hear it. They don't even give it a chance. But I grew up in Germany listening and understanding that these are some hard-working individuals that come together and form five-piece musicians that actually have to keep sync time and sing, most of them. So it's really a great, great, how can I say this? It's a whole lot more artisticness put into their music than it is actually than just being a rapper. So after experiencing through the years of going different places and knowing that all the different cultures are different, the different people, different cities listen to different kinds of music, it's like I adapted styles from listening to what they're creating, what he's creating, how they like this, how they like that. And it's almost like I bottled it all up and tried to mold it out to be my style. So, and if I put forth that kind of effort in my music, I feel like that I should be able to do it my way and just the people accept it for what it is, because it's some of everybody's culture that's involved in my music.
Yeah, music is a universal language. And because I listen to all genres as well. But it is a universal language, and I think that when we start separating the music, so I'm against hip-hop and mixing with anyway, let me stop. I'm going to go there. But
no, don't. Please say that. Please say that. Finish that.
I don't like, you know, I'm from old-school hip-hop. You know, when I started off in the industry, I worked with Efface Records. You know, he didn't do a lot of hip-hop, but I was surrounded around a lot of hip-hop people that I grew up with. I think hip-hop should stay hip-hop. I don't like hip-hop, where they're mixing hip-hop with pop. You know, I'm just, I don't know. That's just my thing. And I can name a few artists that do.
Wow.
Yeah. But I have seen hip-hop back in the day be mixed with rock, like Run DMC and things like that. So I think a lot of the young people have missed that that, you know. They may catch some old videos, but they didn't see all those times. But I just think that hip-hop was created from the streets to speak the language of the streets, and I think that people are so into making money that they have diluted what hip-hop was originally supposed to be.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for saying that. And hear this. For all of our listeners, I want them to know there's a difference between hip-hop and rap.
Absolutely.
There's a difference. Okay? Hip-hop is a culture. Rap is a style of music. Okay? Rappers, as a rapper, it's rhythm and poetry. It is poets that have speak from the streets and put it to a rhythm.
Yes.
To dance to cry to whatever. The mood setter is the music. Which is giving props out to producers out there that actually, you got a lot of guys in the industry, for instance, that just make beats and put them out, and they're all over the internet, and it's like, you can get this beat if you want to and make a song. That's not a song. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's something.
The artistic,
it's a creativity.
Out of it. Yeah.
No, don't get me wrong. It's a creativity, but you're in the way of a true artist that sit down with a producer, and the producer tells you, hey, until I get some lyrics from you, I can't make you a track.
Right. Yeah. You know, I agree. And I think when we talk about music, you know, I'm West Coast baby. So, you know, you think about, you know, people, you know, they say what they want to, but you think about people like Dre and these producers, they really put those mixes together. They had to sit down and figure out what sound they wanted. They couldn't go buy one off the internet.
Exactly. And it was
it makes a big difference, and I think it cheats them out of creativity.
He actually made his tracks that surround the artist. Each artist had their own sound of tracks. For instance, Eminem tracks don't sound like Dre. Eminem don't sound like Snoop Dogg tracks, or you don't hear World Class Wrecking Crew tracks don't sound like Yella tracks, or you know, and that's
like you
kind
had
of
Mellow
my style.
Ace. You had a lot of people that really like, you know, the Beastie Boys. I mean, those those people really work. And I'm not taking anything from the artists, you know, because it's made easier now to become an artist. You go on YouTube and you hit a million, then you're starting to make money. I'm not taking away from that, but I wish that the younger artists would really appreciate the real creativity of making a song instead of just making a song.
Exactly.
Because
show some respect for the veterans that actually paved the way streetwise.
Exactly.
It's
a lot of producers that we don't hear about that have paved the way. A lot of them. That are sitting back quietly and have opened doors for lots of people. And I know that for a fact. You know, you got General Jeff. You got a lot of people like that that people don't talk about, that really open the doors for some of these young people to do what they do. And not again, I'm not taking away from what they're doing, but I just wish that they would learn the history so that when they do produce a record or they do come out with something, whether it's an old track they're shaping over or whatever, that they understand that is a legacy that comes with it. It's not just making music and making money. It's a legacy. And people have, people have died for it, pretty much, You think about being hip-hop, people have actually died to give them that opportunity. And so all those creative artists, they paved the way. And I just think that it's important for the young people to learn the history and the business.
Wow.
As well.
Say that one more time. It's important for those who learn the history.
Yeah, they do. They need to learn the history and the business. So when they put out music, some of these songs, you're not going to want to hear them 20 years from now. But if you put on an old Run DMC, an old, Method Man, and them put one of them old joints on, they can still relate to that because those people use creativity in their work, and they learn the business. And it's important to learn the business. Even if you're a one-hit wonder, take that money and do something with it. Don't become broke, because right now all the kids want to do is flash cars and women and money, and a lot of that stuff is rented anyway for the people who don't know. That's really not always theirs. So they sell an illusion, and it takes away from what that type of music was really about. That's just my opinion, but that's how I feel about it.
As a producer, it's true. As a producer who's been in the business for almost 30 years, it's true. And there's no way to sugarcoat it. I mean, it's absolutely true. They've lost the respect for the history. It's almost like they don't want to go to school. They just want to get in the business and be who they are and don't care who you are. You know what I'm saying? And many of them want to get in the business and hands-on, but they really don't understand that producing music like that, it gets in the way of true producers because they're steady putting that how can I say it, meaningless music into the industry.
I wanted to ask you a question, Mr. Davis. You're known as Ice. Where did you get that name?
Icy.
Where did you get that name?
Icy.
Right.
Icewhy. Icy. I had a song that was called Icy. And it was talking about things that I see. I see why this is that. I see that why this is like this. I see why. And the song was actually speaking about prejudice. It was actually a song that me and a band did together. And we actually played that song a few times in some shows, and everybody loved it. But the name Icy came from friends of mine saying, oh, he's cold. He's just cold. And that's actually where Too Cold was also formed from. He's cold. ICG was the original name. Intelligent Cash Making Youngster George. ICG. About 88, Mr. G. Go and just went with the Icy. I See Why. I made that song, and it, the name stuck from that point. And not even 6 months later, I created what I call Too Cold Productions and Entertainment.
Wow. So actually, I didn't know that. It was a song called I See Why.
Yes, sir. That was in the 80s. Yes, sir.
Wow. I sure didn't know that. You know, tell the audience, you know, your production company. How is your production company making a difference and doing their best to uplift their the communities in your area? What do you guys do?
Okay. For one, that is exactly what Ms. J was just speaking about. That is the structure of our company, of my company, Too Cold Productions. And I say our now because it's not just me. I have a team. I have a strong team. And it took many years, actually this time 7 years, getting back into the physical part of the business, but it took 7 years to build my where it's at today. And my team is actually, we're going by the name of Coast Life Connections as a promotion team, but Too Cold Productions is the leading company. The company is structured on the history of music and southern music, which Mississippi is known for the birthplace of American music, which means that we have birthed music throughout the whole United States, and it's a proven fact. So they can look that up. Y'all can look that up. It's on Wikipedia. Look it up. But anyway, the root of this company stands for, it's like my mom, she was my main supporter when I got into music. And music didn't start with me with being a producer. It actually started with me as being a dancer. I started off at the age 7 or 8 years old, pop, lock, and break dancing. And my brother was 6 years older than me. So it's kind of, I am the root of hip hop. I'm one of the roots that has been through everything in the hip hop industry that is possible to do. I've done that from tagging, spray painting, break dancing, DJing. I'm still doing a lot of this stuff right now as I speak. DJing, and it carries over to technology becoming a part of hip-hop as well. So my company is based on everybody that joins this circle. First thing is loyalty. Second thing is you got to be able to learn something from someone else, especially those that are like my CEOs. They have history in music. So the younger generation, we try to give them the history as they grow as an artist so and they can understand, where did this come from? This culture of music was only accepted into the Grammys in the 80s, and you're working to get a Grammy, something that we helped to get into the Grammys. You need to understand what you're dealing with. You need to understand with the people that you have to show respect to, because doing just jumping in and saying, I'm a rapper, I'm a producer, I'm this, that, well, you're disrespecting a lot of people when you ain't even put in the work that we have and been through the things that we have, like slammed on the concrete and handcuffed just because I look like a rapper. Okay, well, what does a rapper look like, and et cetera, et cetera. But this company is based around, I'm going to give you an example. I have about probably 5,000 albums, original albums, and a lot of them never hit the market because I was a DJ and I obtained things like that. I take them through the history and pull the albums out and show them the producers and how long this producer's been producing. Some of these guys think that these producers are just coming out and they're new. These guys have been around 30 years, you know. Jay-Z, for instance, Jay-Z's first album came out with Jazz. That was 30 years ago. He's on the cover of Jazz album. And Jazz, Jay-Z. So, I mean, this is the things that I try to teach them, and they learn the history. And behind learning the history, it reflects in the growth of their music. I've watched artists grow up in my eyes, in my studio, just go to a whole nother level of production. And it's like, wow. And it feels so good to me to be able to give it to them now, because it takes years. It took years of me learning this to give them something they can learn in a matter of weeks, or just being around me every day, you're going to learn a lot more than I knew back then, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, because it also teaches them to respect the culture.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
and
ma'am. They have a whole new outlook on
that culture. Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the history. It's just like us learning black history or whatever. You know, I'll say black history because everybody knows American history. I mean, you know, the, you know, regular history. But black history,
this
once you
part of black
history. I'm going to go there. Sorry, John. But once you learn, you know, black history, you have this kind of pride, and you live different, you think different, you react to things different, you move different if it's embedded in your spirit. And I think the same thing with the music. Once you learn the history, you know, like jazz and blues and where all that really came from and how it transformed into other genres of music. I mean, understand that history, I think when you come into the business, it, you know, you just have, it gives you longevity. It also gives you a quality of music that won't die in time. Some of these songs, I'm killing, you know, you're not going to want to be hearing, you know, thong, thong, thong. Like, you know, no disrespect about the thong song. It was a bomb when everybody was out dancing to it. But really, when you get a certain age, you don't want to hear that. But if somebody put on some Luther, I don't care if you're 12 or 22, you like, hey, Luther killing it.
I feel something. And see, I call them the auto-tune robots today. That's just like the radio, hip-hop radio stations. It's just like one long auto-tune song. And it all sounds like one person. And I'm a producer. I can hear difference. But all these guys is using the same program to do that auto-tune with it. It sounds like one person. I'm sorry, fellas. It does. As far as the history and the way that they look at the history, they don't even look back on the history. They don't care. These guys are actually saying that they created a new music. Okay, that's fine if you have created new music. But don't call it hip-hop.
Right,
no.
Yeah.
Something else, because we've created hip hop already, and it sounds like us, not like them.
Yeah.
And you, I agree with both of you all so much, you know, because in order for you to be able to explain anything or get into anything and be a success from it, you have to know the history of it. You have to know.
Sir.
Now,
I've been watching on YouTube. I've been watching, you know, a lot of the older artists, for instance, Afrika Bambaataa and a couple of guys that actually are pioneers of the hip-hop industry. And they tell the stories to these young guys. But see, these young guys come back and they argue the points about it. But they realize that you gotta be accepted by them to be a part of the hip-hop nation, man. This is the nation that we created. This should be... I feel that hip-hop should be in the history books in school for the simple fact that it needs to be taught correctly. This is a culture for us. Some of us live this, and we're going to be doing it for the rest of our life. We're not too old, or we're not going to go. Prince went on this elevator, man. But he didn't ever stop doing what he loved to do because it's in his culture. It's in my nature. That's all I want to do is music for my life and draw. I'm an artist as well. I draw and paint just as much. You know?
Well, you know, George, you know, I look at you as one of the legends and a pioneer of hip hop. And how that I came to that conclusion, it was about, I think maybe about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I met you. And then one of your songs was in the documentary, The Mentally Blind in America. And the song was Open Your Eyes. And I listened to the lyrics, man. And I say, you know, the video was cool too, but the lyrics so powerful. And then what you say in that song, you say, I'm on another level when it comes to rapping.
Another level.
And that was powerful. And this was a spiritual song. I mean, a spiritual song, you know? I mean, this thing was so powerful. I said, oh, man, I got to hit this brother up and see if he can put this song in the documentary, you know, because it was just powerful, you know?
One of the things John brought up is lyrics. I don't listen to music like other people. Even one of our good friends, Dex, I listened to a song for him, and I wrote him back. He said, man, you went that deep. Because I'm big on lyrics. I love beats. But those artists used to work so hard on their lyrics, not the beat.
Ma'am.
They worked on the words.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that a lot of people miss that. I mean, yeah, the beat is cool to bounce to and dance to, but those words are what really matters. And I think a lot of times with and I know we live in a different time where people, you know, thinking being pimplicious is cool and having a whole bunch of chicks on your arm is cute, but it's not real life. And you think about, you know, some of the older artists that you go back, these kids wouldn't know them, so I can't mention them, but when you go back to the way, even some East Coast dudes are really, you know, when you listen to some, they were about lyrics. That's why people like Biggie was, like, so big, because if you listen to some of Biggie's lyrics, just the words, he don't have to have a beat, just listen to the words, and you go, what? But we don't have that no more. We, you know, and I think that we need to get back to the...
Yes, we do. Ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but y'all check out Icy. I'm sorry. I will rephrase that. Y'all check out Coast Life Connections, Two Cold Productions. We are big, big, big on lyrics. Very big on lyrics. So our songs are meaningful. Every song has its own meaning.
And that's worth listening to. Like me myself, I'm from the old school. You know, I'm the blues man, you know, B.B. King, you know, A.Z.
Yes,
Hill, Z.Z. Hill, and,
I got something for you coming up.
Well, Mr. John. You know, I love me some rap, too, you know, but I be listening at the lyrics. I'll listen to it if it's the lyrics is good. You understand if the lyrics is good, man? I'll play that song 20 times, you know, like your song. Open your eyes. I know I haven't played that song at least about 50 times.
I appreciate it. And that's just the start of something. That's just the start of something great, because the album itself is like the whole entire album is structured upon my emotional feelings and poetry that has been written throughout my life that it explains me. The name of the CD is GED. And I will, matter of fact, you know what? I feel so good today, and I'm so honored that y'all had me on the show. I am going to make that album because I feel like what y'all just said today and makes all the sense in the world. I'm not going to sell that album. I'm not even going to put it out for sale. I'm going to put that complete album out where y'all, everybody listening to this show now, y'all going to hear me. I'm saying it live. I'm going to give that album away. I'm going to put it on social media, all the songs. You'll be able to find it on different websites as far as SoundClick, SoundCloud, anywhere and everywhere I can put it. I will also get it sent into iTunes where it'll be available, and I will mark it free on iTunes. I'm going to give away GED, the CD, to more explain who I am. And let y'all know that GED Part 2 is on the way. It might not be named that, but I have a lot of great artists that work with me. Jennifer Watts, which is Flawless, Fox the Ladies of Southern Soul, she's releasing a single with me. It's already out. I'm stepping out. I have Reality Jones, which is Classic Night Entertainment. He has several artists, Town Talk. He's got Spade Lingo, Renee, a little bit. There's a whole lot of us that's, man, together. I also work with guys out of Baton Rouge, Outlaw Entertainment, which is Pim Capone and Watts. And everybody understands the structure of Two Cold Productions that I'm working with. And they are so supportive. They're loyal. And the best way to explain it is that we're trying to put the history back into the music like it's supposed to be and do the things that we're supposed to do as far as uplifting the communities. The community itself is the music, okay? Because hip-hop is based upon the streets. And because it's based upon the streets, we are given street literature. These kids are following that literature. Fellas, if y'all are telling them negative things, they're going to respond. That's what they know to do. Hip-hop has been
lost
formed.
Two greats. Because
to
it
do
was
that.
People wanted to prove, you know, trying to defend one and defend the other, and that East Coast, West Coast drama with the news, and I still blame the media, pumping it up. And
they pumped up a physical war.
I think that we have to start thinking as a community that, you know, that we're not against each other, and we all want to be successful, and there's enough room for everybody to be successful. And I think that the media, I always say the media killed Biggie and Tupac, you know, and it's very sad because those were people that were really going to make a big difference in their genre of music and rap. And it's really sad. But one thing I want to back up on is how important do you, because I love great hooks. You know, I don't think people realize it's the hook that really sells the song a lot of times. Because once you learn the hook, I mean, I know hooks and don't know every word to certain songs. So in your you know, production work and so forth, how big is a hook for your team? Like, do you really emphasize the hooks? The hooks are old school, so I know a lot of people not really into them, but I'm telling you that hooks are major as far as keeping your music alive and memorable. So, you know, how do you feel about the hooks?
Before you answer that question, Mr. Davis, let me let the audience know that you're listening live at Uplifting Communities Talk Show with John and Ms. J, and our special guest is Mr. George Davis, better known as ICY. And if you want to participate in the conversation, please press 1. I see we got a board filled, so please press 1. And I'll let you in. Okay, go ahead and answer the question, Mr. Davis.
Okay. To me, it is important. Hooks are very important. It's if you sit in the executive seat and you're listening to music that is going to go into the billboards, in other words, in the executive seats, you hear the first 15 seconds of the song. As far as the hook goes, they get to that later, but if it starts off with that hook, yes, it's important, very important. However, the structure of music that me and my team work on is, I tell them all the time, every line is a punchline. So first line to come out of your hook to go into your verse, I want that line to keep their attention just growing all the way through the song. So it's not difficult for us to follow each other on a song. In other words, we don't have to put the better rapper last because the better rapper is in the middle of last. All of us can say something that's going to keep your attention every bar through the song. And that,
awesome.
We practice that a lot.
Awesome. Now, indie music is really taking over. I think a lot of people are still trying to get on main labels, and I've heard artists say that main labels take your creativity because they want you to be in that little square, that little box, because that's their money box. And stepping out of that money box sometimes interferes with what their vision is instead of embracing the artist's vision. So when you are dealing with your artists and as an indie, you know, because you're indie, how do you think about the indies taking over? Because, you know, even some of the mainstream artists now are becoming indie artists.
Yes, ma'am. That's like saying we're making a comeback. We've been here for years, and we're not going anywhere, and the industry figured out a way to swoop in and scoop a lot of the money up. And then the indie artists, there was also some other indie artists that come through and use a lot of illegal money to push the system that kind of knocked us down. But indie is just figuring out another way. Not figuring out, we're actually utilizing a new way to supersede past because the industry is not a threat to us. We're a threat to the industry as independent artists because as independent artists, we can make and sell our own music and don't need their help, you know. So to all the indie. So to all the artists out there that's trying to get on big labels, that's an overnight success, and you will get that, but there's nothing longevity about that. I'll say this, you're too old to be in the business, not me.
You know, when you watch Unsung and you hear, because I watch anything related to music related, I'm kind of a junkie.
I love it.
But like when I watch Unsung, that's one of the things I do watch. And you always hear them say that they didn't fit the mold or somebody else came out and they're no longer in that, you know, they're no longer valuable as they are if they change it. And I watched a lot of careers get destroyed trying to fit into that mold. And it's kind of heartbreaking when you hear those stories because, you know, they
yeah.
came out as individuals and then they got these big deals and then they wanted them to become something else. I even watched when Whitney
yes.
Houston, one thing she said that was really important, she says, you got to know yourself before you start this business because you cannot learn who you
yes.
are once you're in it.
You sure cannot. No, ma'am. And that is what Tukar Productions is structured around. Every artist that joins this team restructures from scratch and becomes themselves. Because I need you to be who you are. You can step completely outside of this box that they have you in. That's what we talk about that so much. Get outside the box. We don't like to have anyone inside the box. Everyone get out the box and work together as creative people. There's songs that have been recorded by myself that, as a matter of fact, I just finished a song that my artist came in yesterday. This song's been recorded for almost 6 months, 7 months ago. But to critique it, everyone's listened to it, heard it on the team. But he came in and very much, I mean, just perfected the song. I couldn't even put a verse on my own song because I knew it was missing something. So with that said, as an independent artist, we didn't have to wait for a record label to come say, no, I'm going to put him on there because that guy's going to make the money. No, I work with independent people that have names for themselves that are actually come in and help out, that will actually give me feature verses. I haven't even taken upon none of them because I have respect for them. When we do that, it's going to be a project as an independent artist that we can actually take some time and work together to get the project through. For instance, with Mr. John, we took time out together to make sure that Open Your Eyes was a project that was successfully served its purpose. The purpose was to open people's eyes. And today, it's on my first album that has been lingering for 3 years and haven't been released yet. And look what we've come from that. We've opened so many eyes to so many people. I have some followers. I have people hit me from UK and Canada, by the way. Let me send my shouts out to UK and Canada because they have been so supportive. I couldn't believe that I got more support in the United Kingdom and Canada for Open Your Eyes than anywhere in the world. I have over 23,000 fans over in the UK and Canada that said that song has changed, touched, moved, pushed. I have emails that say from several people, not just one, that says, I've never listened to rap music in my life, but I will start today because that song is something changed me in that song. And it's about the lyrics. I set out to serve a purpose, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. You know, and, you know, I mean, man, I'm just so, you know, proud of what you're doing. You know, you're a friend of mine. We've been knowing you. We met, I think I was promoting my book, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes. And
Actually, I want to tell the public something. I realized that we met long before that.
We probably did.
Your son's name is Jay Bizzle, correct?
Right.
Okay, he was on one of my first radio stations with Mr. Hicks that allowed me to be the producer of his radio station on Blog Talk, as a matter of fact. And Bizzle was one of my guests from California, and you called and showed support to him, and we had the conversation.
Wow.
Yes. What a small world. And I always tell these kids out here making this money, thinking they run and stuff, you never know who knows somebody else and being
exactly
on bridges that you burn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and to me, I try to tell them, man, karma is real. Reap what you sow. If you have done something bad in your past, it's time to start getting those amendments as soon as possible and stop doing bad things because it's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back.
Hey,
I can't say nothing else,
it
will come back.
That's right. You better bear it because I'm a strong believer in God. And if you don't bear it, it's coming back, my brother. It's coming back. Believe me.
Yes, sir, it's coming back. I don't care how tough you are, they'll break that cookie. It's karma will break your cookie. You know, I mean, me in particular, people look at me and they say, Mr. Davis, you've been through prison and this, that, and other. Yes, I did, but I want to give y'all enlightenment about my prison. I did 15 and a half years in the Louisiana prison penitentiary systems, and I got more education than I could have ever got on the streets. I read over 500 probably books, and it was from law books to music books, anything I could just read. I read for 15 years. So if you want to hide something, they said put it in a book. It's there.
I wanted to piggyback on what you just said about the 15 and a half years. I didn't bring that up, but I want to say it. Yeah, Mr. George Davis did 15 and a half years for a crime that he didn't do. He got out of prison, and he did not let that stop him. He kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going. You know, and this is a man that I respect because he didn't give up. He's not a quitter. You know,
that's right, John. That's right, because we got a lot of dudes out there that young cats that are, you know, done time or whatever, and they think that's the end of the world when they get out because society is not welcoming. They don't have a plan for them when they get out of jail, and which really needs to be changed. That's another whole other show, but it needs to be changed that when they come out, they got a skill. I know I got some friends that did time in Louisiana. They got a different kind of programs, like veterinarian programs and different things like that. You know, they can get a skill while they're in there. A lot of these other prisons is just a hellhole. And excuse my language, but it is. It's just a hellhole. You know, they don't give them anything. They don't give them anything to help them think about having a better life. So when they get out, some of them think it's just better to be in because it's like hell being out. And I think that's really... You know, and we need to really work on that system. I think that needs to be really addressed. But the fact that you didn't cower out, and even though you were innocent, you know, and some, you know, I know some cats that wasn't innocent. However, they just kind of like kicked back, like, well, this is all I got. I'm ex-con, ain't got nothing else, can't get no job. You know, create a job. We're in a time now where you can go on Google and create your own job. I mean, you can create your own job. You can create a podcast. And start talking to young cats about why jail ain't all that cool.
Okay, y'all. We only got 1 minute and 40 seconds left on the show. I know the conversation is so good, and I didn't mean to cut you off, Ms. J, but I don't want them to.
I'm just tracking time. It's all good. I apologize.
So,
first of all, I apologize, y'all, for talking so much. But we'd like to thank Mr. Davis for coming on the show. It was really a good show. And it's good to have shows about different stuff, you know. And so I'm really glad that we had this show about music because we have a lot of friends that are into music. Mr. Davis, if you had one positive thing, Mr. Davis, to say to the audience before we get off, what would that be?
Put God first. Put your family second. And always be loyal.
Man, that's major. And Mr. John L. Brown.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Davis, I really appreciate you coming on the show, man. I mean, this was really, really inspiring.
Thank you. And thank you guys for joining us and listening in. We really appreciate the support. And until next time, peace and blessings. And together, we will make a difference. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.